This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
I think we're going to have a tremendous fourth quarter. I think we're going to have a transitional third quarter. And I think we're going to have a phenomenal next year.
Wow, the president not happy with the top doc. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. If you've never met, well, now we have. President Trump, frustrated by the Fauci, said at his daily press conference that he was surprised by his answer when he was asked about Dr. Anthony Fauci's warnings during the televised congressional testimony a day before that reopening states too quickly could have dire consequences. The president said it's just not an acceptable answer, especially when it comes to schools. Fauci, if you don't know what happened, I'll re-rack it for you, suggested that schools open cautiously, said in some places schools should remain closed in the fall. He said if states reopen before meeting the criteria set out by the administration, guess what? It means more outbreaks, the possibilities of that. And the president says, quite simply, he's playing all sides of this thing. That's what's happening. And he said that during a meeting with the governors of Colorado and North Dakota, because the president has insisted in the last couple of weeks that everything reopens in the fall, schools, universities, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of universities are saying they're not going to do it. Harvard University online, lots of universities going online, and other schools, middle schools, high schools, elementary schools, making decisions depending on, once again, what part of the country that you live in. So at the top of the show, we always tell you about the confirmed cases, those that have recovered, and the souls we have lost in these United States, and worldwide, the total, too. So deaths, 84,763. Recovered, 244,000. Thank you, frontline hospital workers. And confirmed cases, 1.42 million. If we looked at the whole wide world, 4.34 million, 297,000 deaths, and recovered 1.55 million. Man, I've said this before. You can't go back. You can't push the genie back in the bottle. But boy, if we could do that with this virus. I saw an interesting ad today about the virus and trying to really illustrate to people what COVID-19 would look like. So there was a video that started to spread that showed how easily germs and viruses can spread in restaurants when just one person is infected. There was that big story out of South Korea where one man infected at least 80 people by going to six or seven nightclubs, and it all traced back to him. I think it's good to illustrate to people, here's what it looks like, here's what could happen. Because we're fighting this elusive devil. And it just doesn't seem it. Does it seem it, right? Especially when you're someplace where there hardly are any cases. So there's hardly any cases, nobody's died, or one or two people have died, and one loss of life is way too many. But I think there's like a false sense of security. But even the top docs, including Fauci and others, cannot for sure tell us 100%, well, second wave is going to look like this, here's what possibly could happen. We do know, and I've said this before, social distancing works. It's worked in our history. If you think way back to the Spanish flu pandemic, which, by the way, my great-grandmother died in that. My grandmother was 7 months old, and her mother died. I didn't even know of this story until this pandemic hit, because I had another great-grandmother who I'm named after, and that's just what I thought it was. Nobody talked about that, and now I'm just getting bits and pieces. So I do know that this is a true story, and she left behind my great-aunt who was 7 and my grandmother who was 7 months old. And why? Because in Philadelphia and surrounding areas, they had a big Liberty parade. People weren't really wearing masks. They were going down to the beaches, hanging out close, and it really spread there. St. Louis, they social distanced and didn't hang out with a whole bunch of people, and they didn't have the numbers that the Northeast had. Now we rewind, or we fast forward, I guess, because we just rewound in our history. We fast forward to what is happening now. The thing that we all care about is what's the latest, what's happening surrounding COVID-19. Tell us about the vaccines. Tell us that testing is available. And we know that more testing is available, and so that part's really good. The more testing that can be done, of course, the better. The more nasal swabs and patients who can be told that they have COVID-19 or they don't have COVID-19 is, in my opinion, a very, very good thing. There was a story about a Broadway singer/actor. His name is Nick Cordero, and has a young son, less than 7 months old. He and his wife are both in the profession. Her name is Amanda Klutz. A lot of stories have been written about this couple. And he has been in the hospital, it seems like forever, since almost the beginning of this thing. And he is a very well-known Broadway singer, actor. And he's only 41 years old. So what's happened is finally he's out of a coma, but his lungs are severely damaged. They say it looks like he's been a smoker for 50 years. 50 years! That's how damaged they are. There's holes in his lungs where you don't want the holes to be. He's at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center now in Los Angeles. And he's had all kinds of complications. He had to have his leg amputated. Wow. This is a guy who did not have symptoms. He didn't have any of those underlying conditions. He was induced and put on a ventilator in the ICU on April 1st. Imagine the people he would have come into contact with what he did for a living. Very, very scary, and illustrates the point that we don't know. There is so much we just don't know about COVID-19. But pay attention to any symptoms, whether they're new symptoms, new signs, whatever, or signs that we've talked about from the beginning, the high fever, the chills, the feeling like you have the flu, the horrific bed sweats where people say they sweat through even two sets of clothes. And then there are other factors that fall into play. Wow. So what are the guidelines? What is the map to reopening? I've been asked that several times. CDC had something to say about that. I'm going to tell you what I found out. That's coming up. On the flip side, when can we reopen and feel safe again?
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, SunnyBay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at SunnyBay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at SunnyBay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to Sunny-Bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click Sunny-Bay.com. That's Sunny-Bay.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warships? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Odds and Ends with me, Kate Delaney, wishing you all the best wherever you are self-isolating, or maybe you're venturing out because you've reopened. You're in a state where it is open for business. Guidelines to do that at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention initially were shelved by the Trump administration are more strict and more detailed than what the roadmap is coming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So there is a 17-page draft report, and in this report, in what they talk about, how do you slowly return to what they're calling normal life? And it details what's needed for schools and businesses, transportation, travel, communities, religious communities, and what's the guidance there? What do you have to meet the criteria of reopening? The biggest discrepancy between the White House and the CDC guidelines focuses on non-essential travel. In the White House plan, non-essential travel can resume in phase two. The CDC recommends that non-essential travel be avoided until phase three, and even suggests it may be considered and advises caution with this. So anyway, the three-phased approach and looking at the first phase, and we know that schools are closed, and should they remain closed, and employees who can telework or are working from home, large venues, restaurants, gyms, that kind of stuff, bars, are they closed down? Phase two and three, you start to lift all those restrictions. And, of course, the president is getting pressure, that's for sure. And the president also wants, because you think of where we are in this country and the frustrations and the franticness of some people to be back out. And so the push is to reopen. And governors are ultimately trying to make those decisions. But you have the health professionals who are out there saying, like parrots, that reopening the country too soon could lead to a disastrous second wave of coronavirus cases and end up killing more people, more deaths. I mean, I don't know about you, but the more I read, I just told you the story of the Broadway, so the more I read about people who have nothing wrong with them and something happens to them, and then I see the crazy image of what it looks like with almost that infrared light thing where you're at a restaurant and how quickly that can spread. I think it's frightening. I want to get back out there as soon as I can, like any of you. But I look around and I see and I talk to people, family in the Northeast, and see what's happening to the people around them in their neighborhoods. And I guess it is that suggestion that, well, that's why we are all in this together, but if I'm on the West Coast in an area that's not smashed as hard, why can't we safely do the things that we should be practicing anyway for now, the social distancing and all of that and the mask? Why can't we go out? And so there's going to be this constant tug of war over this. You know, even Los Angeles, you look at Los Angeles, and you know what they're saying now? Good chance, officially, it could be shut down. In fact, it's looking that way until August. And look where we are now. We're not even halfway through, although we're getting close. May. Wow. Because of what has happened in L.A. and because of the beaches and the fears over that. So I say it comes down to the thing I keep saying over and over again, and the thing that so many others are demanding, especially when they have the symptoms, I get that. But they're talking about as many as 6 million Americans could be tested for the coronavirus every week by September. Yes, that's a good thing. Maybe it's not enough to smash open the doors and say, we are reopened. But this has to make people feel better that progress is rapidly being made. It still may be far too short for some, and the accessibility might not be there. Because what I heard suggested is, you know, we need at least 900,000 tests every day to safely open up again. But we need tests. That's what I know that. We need tests, period. Bottom line. That's it. How many tests can get done a week? Whatever it takes, that's the key. All right, so this is odds and ends, and I've gotten questions in the mailbag about this a bunch. Talking about, and that's coming up, by the way, your thoughts. You can always send them to me, katedelaneyradio.com, if you just popped on and you're like, who is this broad? Who is she? Well, again, welcome, but go to katedelaneyradio.com. And if you have any local heroes in your area, I certainly want to hear about them. One of the things that's interesting and is what's happening with Mother Nature. All of a sudden, some of the creatures that we're seeing that are coming out. And I was reading a story the other day about cicadas. And I went to school in Ohio University, and we had a weird cicada attack where you'd walk across the college green and they would smash it. And I'm not kidding you. Like, I would just wait till my roommate who had a car could drive us to our classes if we could do it. But they would just dive bomb you, basically, because there's so many. And then once they hit, poof, they'd hit against you and then they would die. It was the craziest thing. So now I'm reading that cicadas are going to emerge in the East Coast, and they've been underground for 17 years. So North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, get your umbrella out if you're and your mask if you're walking anywhere, because they may fling themselves into you. And apparently cicadas come out of the ground. Cicadas emerge when the ground reaches 64 degrees. I mean, who knew? And that's what they do. So they pop up in the evening, and sometimes, you know, sometimes they survive that because you don't have the people as much, of course, and you don't have the birds or other creatures trying to get them. And I guess this is a thing. So every 17 years, they come out to mate. So look out. Just something else for you to watch for if you're in Virginia, especially, or any of the states that I named, because the attack of the cicadas is coming soon to your neighborhood if it's not already there at this point. Wow. Also coming to your neighborhood, perhaps soon, depending on where you live, Major League Baseball. Not everyone is on board, by the way, with the whole baseball thing. But it is looking like baseball is really going to be serious and make an attempt to do that, to play in 2020. And bend however they have to bend to, you know, whatever direction, just to try to do it. And get it in. And figure out what it's going to look like. So figure out if they're just going to erase American League and National League, or if there's some other way to execute some sort of a Major League Baseball season. But how strange if they try to do this. I can't imagine. I don't know. I can't imagine that you would want to have, you'd have games with, I don't know, without people in the stands, or would you figure out some way to do social distancing? How do you do that? And speaking of what I started with, the reopening stances that are decided upon really by the governors, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is saying that his state is open to pro sports teams. And he became the second governor, by the way, to announce that we're ready for pro teams. We're ready to do this. And he said all professional sports are welcome here for practicing and for playing. He went as far as to say, what I would tell commissioners of leagues is if you have a team in an area where they just won't let them operate, we'll find a place for you here in the great state of Florida. Wow. So saying, yeah, come on, we're ready for you. We're ready for you. Remember, he was allowing WWE and UFC events to take place without fans. And then there is Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. There's the golf match. That's going to be May 24th without fans. Probably get huge television ratings. I'm just thinking. I'm saying it to myself. What do you have to say about anything, including COVID-19? We'll find out next.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Federal health officials are warning doctors to watch out for a rare but deadly illness that's attacking children. It's believed to be linked to the coronavirus. There are more than 160 cases in 17 states and Washington, D.C. At least 3 children have died. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
We thought that children were not especially infected by the virus. To now find out that they might be, and it might be several weeks later, this is truly disturbing.
The nationwide alert follows an urgent warning about the possibility of a prolonged recession from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. He told an economic think tank the federal government should provide more aid to cushion the blow.
Additional fiscal support could be costly, but worth it if it helps avoid long-term damage and leaves us with a stronger recovery.
This is USA Radio News. There's been more testimony to Congress about the rush to reopen the nation and what kind of trouble that could get us into. Dr. Ashish Jha is the director of the Harvard Global Health Institute. He says the key is much more testing.
It was inadequate testing that precipitated the national shutdown. We must not make the same mistakes again as we open up our nation. The institute that I run has calculated that the U.S. needs more than 900,000 tests every day to safely open up again. We're doing about a third of that.
Also very important, contact tracing. The director for Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, Tom Inglesby.
To do contact tracing well, we need on the order of 100,000 contact tracers working for states across the country this year, which is about 30 workers per 100,000 population in a state.
You can listen to the news anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the group?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Now let's talk about the mail. When we talk about the mail, please, Matt, I'm dying to talk about the mail for you all day, okay?
I know, I feel like just saying, mail time. The mail is here. And boy, you've had plenty to say, including this one from Pam. I like that. I'm thinking that's a nickname. Pam says, Delaney, I've never emailed the show before. Familiar. But I enjoy listening to you. I tripped up on your show when I was driving cross country. So good on you, because I seem to get you from little spots to bigger spots. But I'm not here to kiss your booty. I'm here to ask about reopening. Right, wrong, zigzag, what direction do you think we're going in? Is it an insane roller coaster ride, or do you think it'll smooth out? Oh, I think it's an insane roller coaster ride. If only we knew. I mean, we don't know. How do we know? So some states are being super aggressive, and they're saying, listen, our economy is tanked, and we're doing this because we feel like we are reducing the hospitalizations, ventilators, people on ventilators, and we feel good about it, and we're going to practice social distancing and 25% occupancy or whatever it might be. Because it is, it really is tanking, obviously, people's lives. But speaking of people's lives, who wants to venture out with the possibility of not venturing back in again? That's the thing. So I wish I could give you, Pan, a perfect answer to this question. But then I would be like Madam Cleo, and I could predict the future, and I just can't do that. My best educated, and what I think is what I keep saying, testing, vaccines, let's go. It's being worked on. Good thing. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. I really believe that, even though there are restrictions and you can't wave a magic medical wand and make it appear, poof, out of thin air. But there are people, it's not a joke, working round the clock, and there are tests ongoing. So I feel good about that. I do feel like it's going to happen. But we can't buy time, right? So, I mean, that's the problem. And it's a cruel thing, but depending on where you live, is the Russian roulette of this whole thing. You know, if I'm out on the prairie somewhere, and I'm living next door to Ted Turner, who has, I don't know how many acres, in Montana, and my friends in Montana, who I've been there, that is beautiful country. And I've been there where I've seen nobody. Where I was house-sitting for a friend. I mean, there wasn't a soul in sight. So we know, obviously, more Spartan areas, there's a better chance, even though there's these big warnings about, oh, don't fool yourself, you could get hit too, which is true. But I think it's a completely different thing when you're talking about that versus New York. And in New York, mostly we're talking about the city versus upstate New York, Central New York, other places there, and New Jersey and Connecticut, and we've heard some of the really sad, sad stories. And nobody wants to end up in this spot. All right, this one, speaking of New York, is from Richard, who says, Kate, I listen to you in Connecticut. It's great to get your show. I don't know how long it's been carried here, but I heard it the other day when I was writing a paper, and I paid attention to what you were saying, and I thought it was intriguing, so I looked you up. And speaking of looking up, Pete King is a guy who's saying he's going to cross the aisle to vote for the $3 trillion Phase 5 coronavirus relief bill that you talked about on your show. I was listening to you. So how about that? Do you think that more Republicans will make that move and jump over? No, not necessarily. I think, and remember, you know, because he's a congressman, so what happens in the Senate? It depends. It's going to be if it does go, it would be the largest relief bill in our history. But you still have to get people in power in the Senate to buy into it if that's going to happen. And I can't see Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell thinking that this is good. At all. I don't think so. I mean, putting a pause on relief is what he said the other day. Until it's needed. So by saying a pause, it means, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do a grab bag of cash. We're going to wait, which is probably disappointing to so many, especially with the fact that they're drowning in debt and trying to figure out, what do I do? And I keep saying this, it's like you have to change your mindset, refocus, reimagine, reinvent now more than ever. In our lifetimes, for most of us, this will be the biggest opportunity for that, too. So it's changing that around because it's tough when you were living a certain way, no matter what that looked like, and then it overnight it just goes away. And it'll get worse before it gets better. I mean, that's the warnings we're getting, and I have to think there's something, you know, to that. Let's move on to this one from Chuck. I love all these new names. And Chuck says, Kate, you know, I was listening to something you were saying last week, I think, when you were talking about what was the first thing that you would do when you get out of staying home and you're actually out and about, so to speak. And there's so many things I miss, I couldn't really point to one thing. And then I started to think about guys that I played basketball with, and it kept me in better shape. So now my stomach looks like a whale's, where before I was in much better shape because I could play these pickup games of basketball. And I suppose that's what I would want to do, just completely go all out and play and not worry about anything if everything is equal and kicks open. But it just seems like the more we talk about reopening, the less possibility of that. Well, it's like I said, this is the weird seesaw that we're on, the wild roller coaster ride. We don't know. There are places that you could be living or it may get better, and there may be the testing. Like, you step your foot out, boom, you're allowed out further and further, and you feel good about it. Speaking of not feeling good, this one from AJ, who's listening to us in Spokane. Kate, oh my gosh, it seems like every time I go to the grocery store, I get less groceries, but I pay more money. What's up with that? What's up with that is Americans started cooking at home and demand for groceries shot up. But the people who produce our food and the farmers couldn't quickly shift food deliveries to grocery stores. So much was lost. We know this full story because they weren't going to restaurants and other areas where they would have dropped them off. I saw what eggs cost. Eggs are cheap. Eggs shot up 16.1%. 16.1%. Wow. If you're a donut fan of the donut, 5%. Coffee is always higher than I'd like it to be. And I am a coffee drinker. If I do not at least have a couple sips in the morning, this is a true confession, I just feel off balance because there's like a ritual thing with me. I'm not drinking pots and pots of it, but I got to have that first taste. So roasted coffee up 1.2%. So it's demand, baby. That's what it is. It's all about the demand. Who wants the food, and then what are they selling out of? And so those prices are shifting, and then getting the amounts of food they need. It's the whole thing. It's the supply chain. Best way to put it. All right, so thanks for that. Let's move on to Mary, and her question is, Kate, when you look at what's going on in China, I mean, we know it started in China, and it's frustrating because you see the possibilities of these wet markets continuing to operate, and you think of the bat and spreading COVID-19. Who knows how many other diseases could spread? Well, you nailed it. Who knows with those open markets? Who knows what else you could get out of there? And that's the problem. But that's the culture, and that's the way it is. So you'd be shutting down the culture. There is a push for that for some people in China, by the way. Here's one from Murray, who says, Kate, I've emailed the show once before, but I think it's been a long time. I do listen when I can. And I'm wondering, when you look at other countries, especially, what does it look like in Russia, as far as the actual real number of deaths? Well, supposedly in Russia, their mortality rate was less than 1%. And 60% of all the cases have been diagnosed in that country have been in Moscow. Younger and healthier population than the rural areas. So rhyme or reason? I don't know. It's a big, big question mark. All right, we're taking it home. Ending this hour with a big fat rap coming up next.
We tie our strings together.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Irina Sabrova made history with her piloting skills for Soviets in attacking the Nazis as part of the all-female night witches during World War II. I'm Kate Delaney, and this is her story.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Dubbed the Night Witches, the Russian fighter pilots bombed the Nazis under the dark night skies. Irina Sabrova was dubbed the hero of the Soviet Union in 1945 for her first 825 bombing missions. She and her fellow female pilots dropped more than 23,000 tons of bombs to help World War II come to a close, doing it in planes, no less, that were made of stripped-down plywood. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. You know, interesting thing about the Night Witches, they were this, as I said in that piece, they were these daring female pilots who were crucial to the Soviets in their history. And, you know, all totaled, I was doing some research on this because I was so curious. They were part of this all-female 588th Night Bomber Regiment. And they dropped, you know, all those bombs on Nazi targets. So they were crucial. And that's why they started calling them the Night Witches, because you'll love this, because of the whooshing noise their wooden planes made, and it sounded like the sweeping of a broom. That's it. So that's the only warning the Germans had. The planes didn't show up on the radar because they were too small, or any of the infrared locators that they have. How about that? So they never used radios, so you couldn't pick them up, and they were daring. Man, they were daring, because they just went right after, fearless, just went right after the Germans. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So here we are at the tail end of this hour. At the beginning of the hour, I told you the amount of people who have died. We get the up-to-date list as we're live. And, you know, that number sticks for a while, but it's 84,763 people who have died. And I, thank goodness, love the fact that we do have a big recover number 244,000, but it is so crazy to think that many people have died from this pandemic. At this point, we're done with the scratching our heads, and we're moving forward as to what do we do, how do we help people, and all the things I said about tell us there's going to be a solution eventually here soon, that we're going to have a vaccine, and we will. It's just a question of when that's going to be. And what that's going to look like. Air travel is more people are now going back and they're traveling. So air travel has picked up a little bit. But there is that argument about whether face masks should be mandatory for passengers getting on a plane or not. I would think in one way it would be difficult to enforce it. I mean, what are you going to do? Somebody gets on the plane and they don't want to wear a mask. They just don't want to do it. They get on the plane, they wear it when they're getting on, but then they get on, they take it off. What's the flight attendant going to throw them off? So I think the airlines are struggling with their policies of what to do. That, hey, maybe the face covering policy will become more lenient when the passengers have gotten on board. And a flight attendant isn't a cop. They're not an enforcer. Although they've been foisted into that role many, many times. Flight attendants have been getting these memos like normal, but especially now specifically geared toward handling travel again, now dealing with COVID-19. And they've been pretty much told to just encourage people to comply, but don't escalate it. So if somebody's frustrated, so if I'm wearing a mask and the person next to me is wearing a mask and the person behind me is wearing a mask, but then the three people across from us aren't, and we're frustrated by somebody else's lack of face covering, what they're telling the flight attendants is, this is what they call it, use situational awareness to de-escalate the situation. Situational awareness. That's what American Airlines is saying. United Airlines is saying if the policy for some reason causes a disturbance on board, we've counseled our flight attendants to use their de-escalation. Same thing, they're using that word again. De-escalation skills, and they do have the flexibility to reseat customers on the plane as needed. JetBlue is saying, yeah, you tell everyone to keep us safe. Customers and crew members have to wear face covering. Have to. And then they use that same word again. That's like a new, it's not a new word, but it's a word that is now becoming a buzzword. De-escalate. They use de-escalate to de-escalate a situation with a non-compliant or frustrated customer and use your best judgment to uphold our service standards in order to minimize disruptions. How do you do that? Are you kidding? People practically come to blows over this, especially in a metal tube flying to XYZ place. So if everyone on the plane has a face covering, and whether it's a false sense of security or not, whatever it is, everyone has one, except for the person next to you. I'm wondering, if you do wear one, how do you feel about that? I think there's going to be a lot of, I'm not wishing this, but I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for those flight attendants to practice those de-escalating skills that they're talking about in all the memos. That is some skill set to have, and they're going to have to really ramp that up. And you have to know that there are some people that go off the rails, and perhaps there's others that would be okay about it. I've traveled enough, and I have seen everything, trust me. And I think I look at the bright side of life. I'm glasses half full, and I've met great people in and out of airports and on flights. But with the paranoia, with the opening, not reopening, is it safe, is there an Uber, where am I going? I think, you know, you're going to have a lot of flare-ups to have to contend with. I mean, that's what's going to happen, right? And you know what's interesting? The Vice President, Mike Pence, I saw some video of Mike Pence today. Remember, his aide tested positive for COVID-19. So Mike Pence, our VP, is maintaining a distance from the Prez for the immediate future. And he was wearing a mask today. He was in a car and he was wearing a mask as he was pulling up. So apparently that's now happening with Mike Pence. He's being very cautious about any brush-ups with the press and maintaining the distance for the foreseeable future. Because he also has to do that awkward balancing act between taking the precautions and trying to avoid undercutting what else is coming out of the White House. You know, back to business. Is it back to business? Is it back to business if it's safe? And it goes back to that same question that none of us, you know, we live in a free country and we're used to doing whatever we want to do. And that's the thing. We're used to being able to do what we want to do. And now here we have this elusive, wicked enemy, coronavirus, COVID-19, that has taken that away from us. A lot of people aren't happy about that. I'd raise my hand and say I'm not happy about it. But you won't have to de-escalate around me ever. I promise, on a plane. We're all in this together. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of the show. Remember, you can go to katedelaneyradio.com. Send me your thoughts. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warships? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Boom.